in Flannery O'Connor's short story, A Good Man is Hard to Find, the central character is an escaped convict who calls himself the Misfit. It's a dark story of this man who's had a difficult life, has been in jail, believes he's faced punishment greater than he deserves, but in breaking out, he comes across a family having had a car wreck. And at one point, when others have wandered off, he's standing there holding a gun on a trembling grandmother who engages him and encourages him to pray to Jesus. Over and over again, encourages this man to seek Jesus. And finally, after another encouragement to pray to Jesus, the misfit utters a quick answer, probably not even aware of how true it is, saying, Jesus throws everything off balance. Jesus throws everything off balance. Think about that statement. It seems to me that what we read in our scripture today is a glimpse of Jesus doing just that. We see Jesus approaching the end of his life and trying to give some final messages to the disciples. In their day, much like ours, there are voices who tell you that God is there to bless and fulfill your life. And it seems especially true today that there are an awful lot of voices out there that tell you that Jesus comes to give us security and blessings and make our lives whole and wonderful, even some who will promise that if you bring any wish to Jesus, he'll meet it. We seem to be in a day when prosperity gospel is taking root in a lot of places, of Jesus who comes to solve our problems and make things well. And certainly in our culture, we see a tendency to celebrate and build up the rich, the powerful, the athletic, the ambitious. Over and over again, we see stories of those who are celebrated for reaching the top. But Jesus came to bring a different message. If Jesus had come to support and build up the status quo, he would have never ended up on a cross. Jesus didn't end up on a cross because he was a nice man. He came because those in power saw him as a threat, saw his message undercutting what they believed and held true. And we see a glimpse of the radical change that he brings in simple stories that most of us grew up thinking are wonderful, happy stories. Jesus is approaching the end of his life. In chapter 17, he's been at home. He's experienced the transfiguration. In chapter 18, we see a lengthy teaching section. In 19, he continues to teach. And by chapter 21, he's entering Jerusalem for the final week of his life. So this is final things he's trying to teach the disciples, some messages he's trying to emphasize and make clear to them that they'll need to understand about what he's come to do in the world. And so as chapter 18 opens, the disciples pull him aside and ask him, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now if we read through the Gospels, we see several times when the disciples come to him saying, when you come to power, can I be at your right hand and he'll be at your left hand? We see several occasions where the disciples are jockeying for power, thinking he's come to be the new king of Israel. And when he's in power, they want to get the rewards of being his closest followers. Whether there's selfishness in this question or not can be debated, but they're coming and they're still trying to figure out, what does it mean to be great in the kingdom of God? What is it that you want us to know to be great in your kingdom? And so he does something unexpected. He throws them a curve they didn't see coming. He recognizes that their definition of greatness isn't quite what he wants it to be. And so he offers them an object lesson. He takes a child, a young child, sets the child in their midst, and tells them they must become like a little child if they want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, as modern readers, and many of you know this, as modern readers, we have to understand that the way children were viewed in that day is different than the way they're viewed today. I remember my children's Bible and how much I loved looking at the picture, you know, a pastel drawing of Jesus with a child on his lap and one hugging him around the neck. And I love that picture of Jesus who welcomed children. And in our culture, children are often celebrated. I love to watch your faces during the children's sermon as you watch to see if they're going to do anything funny. Unless one of them's yours, and then you look, watch with a little more anxiety. When we have children and young people leading us in worship, I see the smile and the pride on your faces. Those of you who know me well know I love kids, and when I'm in a setting and I see somebody with a young child and they'll let me hold their baby and I walk around holding that baby, I have a grin on my face, and you look and go, isn't it neat? The pastor likes children. In many families, children are truly the center of our families. And I don't know if you know it or not, but grandparents are sometimes more than happy to show pictures of their grandchildren, although I don't know anyone who does that. Children are celebrated in our culture. But that's not the way it was in that day. For Jesus to take a child and hold it up as an example would not have been something they would have expected. Children were seen as having little status, little more status than slaves. They were not seen as valuable until they grew up. They were put to work young and early in their value and what they could contribute. But you wouldn't have seen whole family schedules centered around children and what children wanted to do. In fact, when you read about the feeding of the 5,000, you get a sense of the value of children when it says, and 5,000 men were served, not counting women and children, because women and children wouldn't have counted. And so when Jesus is talking about a child, when he takes a child, he's not doing something that would have left everybody going, isn't that cute? He picked up a child. And while it may have been common in that day for parents to bring children to a rabbi for a blessing, the response we see when the families bring children to Jesus and the disciples try to send them away would have been more common in that day than what we think would have happened. So when Jesus takes a young child, he's taking someone without a lot of status, not somebody seen as important. And he sits this child in their midst, and he tells them, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So what's he saying? Now be careful here. He's not saying childishness, as we might define it, is the quality that we value. If childishness was a good thing, a lot of us would be in great shape. But childlikeness, the image of a child who represents those who are often ignored, who are on the fringes, whose voice doesn't matter, is set before Jesus, before them, and said, you've got to become like one of these. Children in those days were seen as having little status. They were dependent, they were needy. And when Jesus is holding up these images and saying we must become like a child, he's challenging the values of the world that tell us to fight for our rights and to think of ourselves as important, and he's calling us to a mindset that recognizes our dependence, our neediness, and calls us to live with humility and care. And then as he goes on to talk about what he is here for, it's to welcome these who are like children, to go off and search for the lost sheep, to make space for those who are easily ignored and overlooked. Jesus tells us when we welcome a child, when we welcome those the world sees as unimportant and insignificant, we welcome Jesus. And he then tells us, the one who would be great in the kingdom will be those who follow the example of Jesus in reaching out to the lost, welcoming the child, caring for those that are getting away and slipping through the cracks. And if we'd even read further on into Matthew 18, we get to that wonderful passage where he's talking about forgiveness, and he's asked, how many times do I have to forgive? 7 times? And Jesus said, oh no, 77 or 70 times 7, depending on how you read the ancient text. So Jesus is telling us what it means to live in the kingdom, to welcome the child or the insignificant, to seek those who are lost and fallen through the cracks, to practice forgiveness in a world that doesn't seem to value forgiveness, in a world that talks so often about standing up for our rights and getting what you deserve. Jesus is inviting us to a different value system, a different way of seeing the world. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Faithfulness is seen not in winning church politics, but in serving, being humble, compassionate, welcoming the needy, offering forgiveness to those that have hurt us. I've used this quotation before, but Tom Long has written, the great ones in the community of faith are not found tipping the maitre d' at a power lunch, but serving the Lord's Supper at a cancer ward. They're not seen stepping on the backs of others as they scramble to the top, but are seen in the valley binding up the wounds of the injured. The great ones in the community of faith know that what goes on in a church school class in the basement of the church is at least as important as what transpires in the boardroom of a Fortune 500 company. The values of the kingdom look very different than the world we're living in, where political parties are fighting often in destructive ways in their determination to be right and to win the battle. And it's easy to get caught up in all of the emotions of the battles for power and control. And in a world where even Christian leaders are getting caught up in political battles and calling names, Jesus calls us to become like the little children, to welcome the little children, to model a whole new way of living. The disciples were looking for Jesus to come and take a political kingdom and be in charge. And it wasn't long after this that Jesus willingly let himself be arrested and gave his life on a cross, showing a different approach to living life in this world. Henry Nouwen, a Catholic priest and professor, one of his quotes is your thought for reflection there today, has a fascinating quote that goes back some years, although it could certainly be written about today. One of the greatest ironies of the history of Christianity is that its leaders constantly gave in to the temptation of power, even though they continued to speak in the name of Jesus, who did not cling to his divine power, but emptied himself and became as we are. Jesus came to model a whole new set of values and to cause the church to be people who model humility, grace, compassion, caring for those the world will toss out, reaching out and including those that it's easy to ignore, to celebrate not the powerful, but the young, the unexpected, the poor, the hungry, celebrating those who have done for the least of these. These are the values Jesus came to teach. Tony Campolo tells a story that for him became a picture of how this works in God's kingdom. As a young pastor, he was a counselor at a junior high youth camp. Sounds like fun. You ready to sign up, aren't you? He was working as a counselor, trying to connect to these junior high, because that's what they called it back then, these kids, and he noticed very early that among the kids at camp each week, there was this tendency to build themselves up, to pick at each other, to find those with weak points and tear down, to laugh at those who were different. And it was especially true one particular week where there was a 13-year-old boy named Billy. Billy had health issues, was developmentally disabled. He walked crooked and different. His speech pattern included some slurring and some stuttering. And it wasn't long into this week of camp that some of the kids who thought they were something began to pick at Billy, laugh at him, ask him questions just so they could hear him stutter and stumble. Campolo said it was painful to watch the way this unfolded. And the thing that made him the maddest was when Thursday morning came around and each cabin during the week was responsible for leading a devotion one day during the week. And in Billy's cabin on Thursday, they all voted for him to lead the devotion. Campolo said, I knew it's just because they wanted him to get up front, to stutter, to struggle, and so they could laugh at him. Campolo was upset, but Billy didn't seem bothered. So when the time came and Billy came to the front, he stood, and I'm not going to try to do it like he did, but in stuttering, halted speech, he said simply, Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus. It took him about 30 seconds to get through that. And then he began to struggle to walk back to his seat. And Campolo said he looked out and he saw tears in the eyes of many of the youth. He saw kids with their heads bowed. And a revival broke out. Campolo remembers we'd brought in famous athletes. We'd brought in talented youth speakers, trying to connect to these kids. But it was Billy, in his own halting, stuttering way, and very simple message that brought a revival. The one least expected. And Campolo says in his traveling around and speaking, he runs into folks occasionally who were there that week, and they come to him and they say, Dr. Campolo, I was a camper when you were a junior high counselor, and I became a Christian at that camp. And you want to know what made the difference? And Campolo says, I don't even have to ask, because I know. It was Billy. Campolo reflects, and thinking about that reminds me. We so easily get caught up into sorting the world based on the values of the world, deciding who's important, who's not important. When Jesus before us takes a child, sets him in our midst and says, we've got to become like a child. We've got to welcome those who are like children. We've got to practice a mindset of humility and compassion, looking out not for our own success, but building up those around us, building bridges where others create divides, modeling grace in a divided world filled with anger, hearing the voices of those who are hurting and saying that those who hurt need to be heard. We need to be a people who reach out to the kind of people Jesus reached out to, who serve and care and build up. Children, young people, as you go to school this week, who are the kids that Jesus might be hanging out with? Those who might be left out by some of the other kids. Adults, in your workplace or your neighborhood, who are those that it's easy to overlook and neglect or dismiss as different? And yet we have the sense that probably Jesus would be with those folks. How can we demonstrate the values of the kingdom? The fruit of the Spirit, the grace of Christ. Jesus said, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Let us strive prayerfully to live in such a way that those words describe us. Will you pray with me? God, we see so much broken. We see anger. We see wrong tactics from right and left and even the middle. We are divided and broken, but we thank you for the example of Jesus. We thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for welcoming us and loving us. Teach us to live as Jesus did, to model the values of the kingdom, to live in this world as Jesus taught. For we know, Lord, this world needs to see in us practical examples of the good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.